I first heard the term cooperate with grace over a year ago in a devotion. It was in an email that Jody forwards to me, an email devotion that's written by a friend of Jody and Twyla's. He's a Catholic priest near the Chicago area. His name is Father Burke Masters. And in the devotion, I really don't even remember what the main point of the devotion was, but I remember that phrase, cooperating with grace. It kind of jumped off the page at me. And it's a simple phrase, but it combines words and concepts in a way that I hadn't thought of before, cooperating with God's grace. And so what I want you to understand at the beginning of what I share with you today is this, that God is constantly offering grace to people everywhere. Do you believe that? God is constantly offering grace to people everywhere, to you, to me, to others around us. All around the world, He extends His love, He extends His help, He extends His forgiveness of sins, the redemption that is ours through Jesus Christ. He pours out His Spirit, He gives us His truth. God is constantly offering His grace, and this is His nature to do this. He is full of grace, and He shares that grace generously throughout His creation. Do you believe that? I believe it. Did I put you to sleep with the children's video? Give me an amen. Amen? Paul, the Apostle Paul, affirmed what I'm saying to you in his letter to the church at Philippi, and I want you to follow with me now from Philippians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, where he says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's right there. I'm not finished reading. I just want you to notice what an awesome verse 6 that is, because I'm not preaching about it. I'm confident that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Listen, what God starts in you, he will finish. Even if times get hard, if life is tough, if you don't see the way clear, God doesn't give up and he doesn't wear out, he doesn't get tired. He's going to finish what he started. Let's keep reading verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. Now, there's a lot of great stuff. There's much that I could preach about in this passage, and I may come back to it someday. But today, I want to focus on the last phrase that I just read in verse 7, how all of you share in God's grace with me. When God shares his grace, he doesn't leave anybody out. Okay? When God says, I'm going to share some grace, when I'm going to pour something out, he doesn't leave anybody out. Now, but sometimes we leave ourselves out. Number one, because we may not recognize his grace when he gives it. And number two, sometimes we don't cooperate with his grace even when we recognize it for what it is. Think about that for a second. He doesn't leave anybody out, but sometimes we leave ourselves out because we don't recognize the grace of God when he's offering it to us. Or if we recognize it, we don't cooperate with him and his grace. Maybe we don't like what he's offering to us. Maybe we prefer the lifestyle we have chosen. Maybe we are not ready to repent of our sin. Maybe we're afraid. You know, I've been a pastor for a lot of years now. Don't try to do the math and figure out how a 26-year-old man could have been a pastor for a lot of years, okay? Just trust me. But I've been a pastor for a lot of years, and in those years, I've come across many people who are afraid of what God might make them do if they obey Him. And I ask myself, how can this be? How could we ever be afraid of a God who loves us the way He loves us? How could we ever be afraid that He would tell us to do something that is not for our good? And how could we ever think that in our puny little mind, in our puny little world, in our puny little scope and understanding of things, that we could come up with a better plan for our lives than what He has ordained for us? And yet, it is the nature of men and women and boys and girls to sometimes refuse to cooperate with the grace of God because we're afraid of what it might mean and the changes it might require. But I'm telling you today that one of the smartest things we can ever do spiritually is to recognize God's grace and cooperate with it. I probably should have put that on a slide. I didn't, but I should have. Repeat after me. One of the smartest things I can do spiritually is to recognize God's grace and cooperate with it. Now, did you cooperate with me? Just then, did everybody repeat after me? One of the smartest things you or I can do spiritually is to recognize God's grace and cooperate with it. And I want to help you with that today. The things I'm going to share will be helpful to you if you'll take them in. Let's just look at some scripture passages, some things that God's Word tells us about grace. Romans 5:17 says, "Those who receive God's abundant provision of grace will reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ." Now, it would be normal, natural for our eyes to just kind of home in on that line about "will reign in life," because we like the idea of getting on top of things and bossing people around. Well, that is a significant teaching in this verse, but what I really want you to notice is the part that talks about God's abundant provision of grace. Notice that word abundant. What does that mean? Abundant. It's a bunch of it. It's a good youth minister term right there. A bunch of it. God's abundant provision of grace. He is not stingy with the grace that He offers to the people of His love, to the people of His creation. He's not stingy. He pours it out in abundance. Also hear what John 1:17 tells us, that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That John chapter 1, that's John's version of the Christmas story, which he doesn't even tell about the baby, right? The way Matthew, Mark, and Luke do. But John's the one that says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You remember that part of John chapter 1? And on 17 verses down after that, he says, "Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." Now, if you've been in church very much, this is something you probably already know, but everything that you have from God's gracious hand is available to you because of who? Jesus, His only begotten Son. We wouldn't have all that grace, all the grace of the Father, all the goodness of the Holy Spirit would not be ours if Jesus hadn't delivered it to us. Grace and truth came through Him. So if you're looking for the grace of God, if you're in need of some grace from God, just remind yourself today, or let me remind you, that it's only going to come through Jesus. You're not going to find it any other way. Okay? He's the one who brings it on behalf of the Father. 2 Corinthians 9:8, "God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you will abound in every good work." I want you to notice that word "abound" and the similarities that that word has with the word on the previous screen. Say it with me. Abundant. abound, abundant. God makes all grace abound to you, to me, to everybody. But that's not the end of it, is it? He does that. His grace abounds to us so that we will abound in good works. We respond to His grace by cooperating with that grace, and we become abundant in good works. Do you know that the last part of that verse is scary to a lot of people? It's scary to a lot of people because they know themselves so well that they know how sinful they are, they know how inconsistent they are, they know how unable they are to do good works on a regular basis, and they know this because they've tried before and it doesn't last very long. You know why it happens like that? It happens like that because when we're trying to do the good works that God teaches in the Word, often we try to do them in the strength of our flesh. And we have the best of intentions, and we may give it all we've got, but we wear out quickly, don't we? And it's hard to be consistent over the long haul when we're relying on our own resources only. But when we're relying on the grace of God and the power of God that He provides through His Holy Spirit, it changes everything. Yes? Glory to God. 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." This verse is for all of us who have ever been scared by the previous verse, have ever been concerned that I can't do this abounding part. I'm not able to abound in good works. I've tried and I've failed. And so God tells us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, He says, "What I'm giving you is enough. It's enough. It is sufficient. And not only that, but my power is perfected in your weakness. I'm not looking for your power. I'm not looking for your strength," God says. "I'm looking for somebody who's weak enough to realize they need me to do it through them." My, and if I can find that person who knows that they are weak enough that they need me, then my grace is sufficient for that man, for that woman, for that teenager, that boy, that girl. We keep talking about grace. If you had to give a definition of the word grace, how would you define it? I'm going to stop talking for a few moments and let you think. If I was taking a test and had to write down the definition of grace, what would you write down? Something good that's undeserved. Okay. An overflow of God's joy into the believer. Pardon. There are a lot of aspects of grace, right? A lot of facets, like a diamond. It's got a lot of facets. I don't have a theological definition, just more of a working, practical definition. And it's on the next screen. Anytime God gives you something better than you deserve. You've been reading my notes, Jamie. Or are you just reading the same Bible? Possibly the same Bible. That's not a theological definition. That's just a working definition. Anytime God gives you something better than what you deserve, that is grace. Now, to get that in our minds a little stronger, compare it, first of all, to justice. Justice is getting what you deserve, right? We all ask, you know, I work with sixth grade at school, and a lot of times the students, when they're getting in trouble, they'll say something like, "But that's not fair." And we try to tell them, number one, life is not fair. Number two, you probably don't want fair. because fair will turn out worse than you think. And if God was really fair with us, if He really gave us what we deserve for our sins, now unless there's somebody here that is sinless and never has had any sin, then we're all in trouble if God gives us justice, right? Because what we deserve for our sins is eternal punishment. A lot of people don't realize that. They think, well, I'm a pretty good guy, I'm a pretty good gal, but God is holy. He's not looking for somebody who's pretty good. He's looking for somebody who is perfect in holiness. And the only way we can meet that standard is not through us being pretty good, but by His grace meeting out His righteousness and holiness to us through Jesus Christ. So you compare grace to justice, and we don't want what we deserve. Compare it to mercy. Mercy is getting off with less than you deserve. So if you deserve punishment and you don't get punished, I'm probably not the only one among the adults here that got whoopings when I was a kid. We didn't do spankings at my house. We got whoopings with a belt. I deserved more than I got. Okay? I didn't see that at the time, but in hindsight, I deserved more whoopings than I got. So even though I thought my father was very strict, there were a lot of times that mercy reigned in my house. And our Heavenly Father is merciful also. He gives us less punishment than we deserve. But grace is a whole other ballgame. It's when He gives you something better than what your sin calls for. You say, okay, I got that. But what does it look like in real life? Well, it comes in a lot of forms. I'm just going to throw some things out at you, and you will probably be able to think of other things that grace looks like. Gene said pardon. Somebody else said something else. Some of the things that grace looks like. It looks like the privilege of worship. Think about for a moment how a perfect, holy God would actually receive worship from somebody like me, somebody like you, and the joy that comes to my heart in worship, and especially when He comes into the midst of a people during worship and manifests His presence in power and in might. That's His grace. That's got grace all over it, doesn't it? When the word is sown in your life, like when the preacher is preaching, do you realize that God is extending grace to you right now because the word is being sown into your life like seed, and it's going to have an opportunity to produce fruit in you? That's God's grace. Just when you read your Bible at home and the Word of God is sown into your life, that is God's grace at work on your behalf. He is offering you something. When somebody prays for you, whether they're praying with you and you know they're praying for you, or whether you are completely clueless, they're just in their prayer closet and they're lifting your name and your needs before God, that is God's grace at work on your behalf when somebody's praying for you. And then when you see the answer, wow, then we celebrate His grace, right? When somebody invites you to church, that is God extending His grace to you. When somebody tells you, just like we had people testifying today, when somebody tells you what God has done for them, that is Him extending His grace, giving you hope that what you're struggling with and the need that you have in your life, that you can have hope that God's going to bring rescue for you as well. That's His grace. What else does it look like? When the Holy Spirit convicts you of wrong or sin in your life. You say, well, wait a minute. That doesn't feel like grace. It may not feel like grace, but it's God giving you an opportunity to get it right. You've messed it up, and now he's given you a chance to get it right. He's given you a second chance. That's grace, y'all. That is God extending and offering a hand of grace that you might be forgiven of sin and given a new opportunity to get it right. Maybe I should have put this one at the top of the list. It's the most obvious. When you are given the opportunity to receive new life through Jesus Christ, we call it being born again. We call it getting saved. All right? Some people call it getting religion. I don't care what you call it as long as you experience it. Amen? Call it what you want to call it, but give your life to Jesus Christ. And when you get the opportunity to receive new life through Jesus Christ, that is His grace from beginning to end. You may be sitting there thinking, yeah, I know all that, but did you know that that is grace? Did you know that's what grace looks like? When you have the opportunity to return to the faith that you once knew, that was once very real and mighty in your life, that is God offering grace. Are you going to cooperate? Listen. When God gives you the chance to minister to other people. Grace is not just something that you experience as He pours out blessing to you. When He gives you the chance to minister to somebody else or to give to meet another need, like I was talking about earlier, that is His grace being offered to you. He's given you a chance to participate in the grace, not only what He's offering to you, but what He's offering to others. What a privilege that is. Do you know that it's possible to miss the grace of God when He offers it? It is possible to miss the grace of God when He offers it. Hebrews 12:15 says, "See to it that no one misses the grace of God." See to it that you don't miss it. And see to it that others around you don't miss it because they need it. See to it that no one misses the grace of God. Another tragic verse from 2 Corinthians 6:1, "I urge you not to receive God's grace in vain." Y'all, we are called to cooperate with God's grace when He offers it. Do you see it for what it is? And do you embrace it for all that He has to offer to you? I have a little visual aid that I think will be helpful. I need a couple of ushers. Somebody can move quickly. David, you and Andrew, come and give me a hand. And pretend that you know how to move quickly. Give one of those stacks to Andrew. And I'll go around this side. Everybody gets a cup. Everybody. Everybody gets a cup. Even Jamie Bush. Whoa, Abby Grace, that was my bad. Sorry, I fumbled that. Everybody. All right. Got enough to make it to the back over there? I have some more if we need them. Does everybody have a cup? Do what? All right, Kay wants a big one. She's not satisfied with the grace that is offered to her. Okay. Maybe I should have included something about that in the sermon. Tammy, what do you see in your cup? It's a word grace. Now, there's really nothing in there, right? It's no water, nothing. But there is the word grace. All right. Becca, what do you see in your cup? Grace. David, what's in your cup? Full of opportunity and the word grace. All right. Terry? Grace. Okay. Now, I wrote that in there, by the way. Yep. obviously, it's not real grace. It's just something to help you think about grace and to realize that when God pours out His grace, He gives some to everybody. Now, I'm about to ask you to do something. In fact, go ahead and do this part. Pretend that you're taking a drink of grace, okay? Just pretend that you're taking a drink of grace. Now, in just a moment, I want you to give your cup to someone else. And the only rule about this, you can get up, move around if you need to. The only rule is you can't just do a simple swap with the person next to you. Okay? You can receive from the person next to you or give to them. Don't just two people swap cups. Okay? Go. I forgot to do my own thing. Oh, I knew that was going to happen. Somebody was going to end up with no cup and somebody was going to have two, and Todd played it just right. I didn't even have to ask. Anybody else not have a cup? Anybody else have two at this moment? Now, it's just a simple thing, but I hope it will stick with you. That any time God pours out His grace, He gives enough to satisfy your need and some to share with others. Any time God pours out grace, He gives enough to satisfy your need. It's abundant, right? He also gives enough for you to share with others. And that's what 2 Corinthians 9:8 was about. Megan, I don't know if you can find that back. We used it earlier. It's the one that says, God is able to make all grace abound to you so that you will abound in every good work. Now, as we approach the time to respond to the Lord, we call it altar call or invitation, whatever, I want you to think. Maybe you just look at the word grace in your cup. I want you to think, what is the grace that God is offering to me today? Because listen, He doesn't call you to this place. He doesn't call you to worship. He doesn't call you to church to give you nothing. Every Sunday, if you've been coming here every Sunday since we've been a church for the last 4 years, He has something for you every time you come. If this is your first time, He's got something for you today. You don't show up in the presence of God and Him not have something for you. And so I want you to sit and think and ask God, what is the grace that You're offering to me today? What is it that I need to recognize and cooperate with You about today? And what is the grace that you want me to share with somebody else? Let's bow our heads together, and I just want to give you a chance to reflect on that and say, Lord, speak into my spirit and help me to see what it is. Is He offering salvation to you? Is He offering a second chance? Is He offering an opportunity to get something right that you have bungled in your life? Perhaps He's just offering that somebody would pray with you today. There's a need in your life and you need somebody to pray with you. Well, I want you to know we have folks here who know how to pray. And we know a God who answers. Is He calling you to give you an opportunity to invest in the lives of some children and teenagers and the ministries of our church this summer by making a sacrificial contribution of money or time above what you would normally give. What is the grace that's being offered to you today, and will you cooperate with it? Oh Lord, you are so much better to us than what we deserve. Forgive us when we don't recognize your grace when it's offered, or when we do recognize it but don't want to cooperate with it. Lord, maybe we're afraid of what might happen. Maybe we are afraid that it might be something different than what we're comfortable with. We're afraid that it might get us out of our comfortable spot in our religion. Oh God, help us. Help us to get over ourselves and just receive what you are offering by your hand. That's our only hope. It's our only future. So God, in these moments that we can respond to you, help us to make the right response, one that will make your heart glad and that will bring us to a place of newness in our life, newness in our walk with you, a place that is better to realize, God, that grace is anything better than what we deserve. God, I need a lot of that. I do. So we look to you now and we say, Lord, yes, whatever it is, yes. Give us the courage to say yes to you.